Welcome to Torah Timecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Stacy Nechama Goldman, and today we will be studying Divrei HaYamim Aleph, Perek Chaf Aleph, Chapter 21. This chapter is filled with significant and lasting events for the Jewish people. David decides, against the recommendation of his general and close advisor Yoav, to take a census of Bnei Israel. This count greatly angers Hashem, and he smites Israel upon completion of the count. David realizes his grievous error in undertaking the census and admits his sin. Hashem gives him a choice of three different punishments. It is while that punishment is being administered that David discovers the site of the future Beit HaMikdash. He purchases the land from its Jebusite owner, builds an altar there, and brings offerings. We conclude with a reminder that the Mishkan and the Mizbeach for burnt offerings are still in Giv'on, where David could not go. Many major episodes of David's life were omitted from Divrei HaYamim, most of them because they put him in an unfavorable light. Why would Ezra have included this story that has such tragic consequences for the Jewish people? The opening verse describes him as having been moved by the Satan. Vayamod Satan al Yisrael, vayaset et David limnot et Yisrael. Now Satan arose upon Israel, and he moved David to count Israel. Rashi offers an interesting explanation here. Now Satan rose upon Israel. Although this chapter is not complimentary to David, it was written here because it says at the end of the chapter that he built an altar and the Lord answered him from heaven. This is complimentary to David. While it does not start out favorable, the ending makes it worthwhile to include this story. The question that bothers many commentaries is why David insisted on counting the people. It is clear from David's request and Yoav's response in verses 2 to 3 that this was not appropriate. Verse 2, Vayomer David el Yoav ve'el sarei ha'am, lechu sifru et Yisrael mib'er sheva ve'ad dan, ve'heviu elai, and David said to Yoav and to the princes of the people, go count Israel from Beersheba until Dan, and bring me word so that I may know their number. Pasuk Gimel, Vayomer Yoav Yosef Hashem al Amo, Kahem Mea Pe'amim, Halo Adoni Hamelech Kulam Adoni L'Avadim, Lame Yevakesh Zot Adoni, Lame Yeh L'Ashma L'Yisrael. And Yoav replied, may the Lord add to his people a hundredfold of whatsoever they may be. My Lord the King, are they not all servants to my Lord? Why does my Lord request this? Why should this become guilt for Israel? The Gemara in Brachot 62b explains that Hashem caused this to happen as a punishment for David when he referred to Hashem as an inciter in one of David's last encounters with Shaul. The rabbis say, in retribution, I will cause you to fail in a matter that even school children know. As it is written, when you take the sum of the children of Israel according to their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord when you number them, that there be no plague among them when you number them. Exodus chapter 30, verse 12. Immediately after, Hashem said this to David, Satan stood up against Israel and incited David to number Israel. 1 Chronicles 21:1. The rabbis seem to be saying that David's greatest sin was not that he counted the people, but that he did so without taking a shekel or some other object to count in place of actually counting the people. This type of counting was instituted already in the book of Shemot and continues through this day when we do the mitzvah of machatzit ha-shekel, the half shekel, on Purim. Ramban disagrees and brings verses to show that there were counts that did not include an exchange for an object. Ramban comments on Bamidbar chapter 1, verse 3, but in my opinion, the divine wrath was aroused against David because he counted them unnecessarily. Since he was not going forth to war, nor did he do anything with them, the number he counted, so that he would need to know their number, at that time, and the census was only to make him rejoice that he ruled over a large people. Ramban says his sin is in fact that he did not have a good reason to count the people. The Malbim takes a third approach. He focuses on the word sifru, which he defines as a count of each individual, as opposed to a general population count like both Moshe and Shaul had undertaken before him. David not only wants each individual accounted for, he also wants to know the count for those under the age of 20. Malbim further explains that this was for the purpose of drafting them into the army. He had lost trust in his people, particularly those from Binyamin, as a result of various rebellions, and he did not think that they would voluntarily join in wars. This seemed like an attempt to control them and make sure they would enlist in the army when they came of age. This was the incitement. He would not accept that all of Israel was united and accepted him as their king. Focusing on the individual in this manner was his true sin. The Midrash Pesikta Rabbati tells us that Yoav tried to stop David from taking the census, but David prevailed on him. It imagines a conversation where David says, "Are you the king and I am the general? Or am I the king and you are the general?" Yoav's reluctance might explain the discrepancy in the final count between our book and that of Shmuel Bet chapter 24. There are 300,000 more Israelites counted here than there. Rashi explains, "The truth is that because the anger of the Holy One, blessed be he, was upon David, Scripture did not write there the number of all of those whom he had counted. Neither did Yoav count all the tribes, as it is written in verse 6, because the word of the king was repugnant to Yoav. But here, because of David's honor, he does mention the number and the reckoning that he counted, because it is his honor that such a massive army was in his tribe." Verse 6 seems to implicate Yoav in really trying to sabotage the census. This information is not mentioned in Sefer Shmuel. V'Levi u'Binyamin lo pakad b'tocham, ki nitz'av devar ha'melech et Yoav. But Levi and Binyamin he did not count among them because the word of the king was repugnant to Yoav. Rashi gives a compelling explanation for why Yoav left these specific tribes out of the count. But Levi and Binyamin, he did not count among them, etc. Yoav knew that it would be considered a sin for the people, leading to a plague. Yoav therefore said, "I can save these tribes for the census." Concerning Levi, if David says, "Why did you not count Levi?" I shall answer him that they were not counted among the children of Israel in the book of Numbers, chapter 2, verse 33. And this is what I shall say about Binyamin. Weren't they stricken in the episode of the concubine in Gibeah? If they are afflicted now, what will be left of them? When Hashem strikes Bnei Israel, David realizes his sin immediately and repents. Through the prophet God, Hashem offers him a choice of three different punishments in verse 12. Im shalosh shanim ra'av, v'im shlosha chadashim nispe mipnei tzarecha v'cherev oivecha l'maseget, v'im shloshet yamim cherev Hashem v'dever ba'aretz. U'malach Hashem mashchit b'kol gvul Yisrael v'ata re'e ma'ashiv et shlochi davar. Either 3 years famine, or 3 months in which you will be destroyed by your enemies and the sword of your enemies will overtake you, or 3 days of the sword of the Lord and pestilence in the land, and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout the boundary of Israel. And now consider what I should reply to him who sent me." David's response is enigmatic, but the rabbis understand it to mean he chose pestilence. Vayomer David el Gad, Tsar li ma'od, epla na biyad Hashem ki rabim rachamav ma'od ubiyad adam al epol. And David said to God, "I am greatly oppressed. Let me fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, but into the hand of man let me not fall." Mitzudat David explains that for both famine and war, the people are dependent on each other's mercy as opposed to Hashem. War is clearly in the hands of man, but to survive famine, the wealthier must agree to provide for those less fortunate. It is therefore clear that David chooses pestilence, as that is completely in Hashem's hands. The Yalkut Shimoni elaborates on the reasons behind David's choice of punishment and explains, "David thought to himself, saying, 'If I choose a sword, all of Israel will not say, what does the son of Yishai care? He puts his trust in his warriors. If I choose famine, all of Israel will say, What does the son of Yishai care? He puts his trust in his treasures. Let us pick something regarding which all are equal. The plague arrives in the guise of an angel, but it seems that Hashem very quickly changes course and stops the angels at a very auspicious place. We read in verse 15, Veishlach Elokim malach li Yerushalayim lehashchita ulehashchit ra'a Hashem vayinachem al hara'a vayomer lamalach hamashchit ravata heref yadecha umalach Hashem omed im goren arnan hayavusi. And Hashem sent an angel to Jerusalem to destroy it. And as he destroyed, the Lord saw and regretted the evil, and he said to the destroying angel, "It is enough, now stay your hand." And the angel of the Lord was standing by the threshing floor of Arnon the Jebusite. What did Hashem see that caused him to stop the plague at this exact place? Radak quotes the rabbis who say it was the ashes of Yitzchak, as if he had been slaughtered instead of spared there on that mountain where the temple would be built. David wonders why his life has been spared and thousands of innocent Israelites have been killed on account of his sin. He says in verse 17, Vayomer David el ha'elokim, Halo ani amarti limnot ba'am ve'anihu asher chatati ve'harea ha'reoti ve'ela hatzon me'asu. Hashem Elokai tehina yatcha bi uveveta vi uve'amcha lo lemagifa. And David said to God, "Did I not say to count the people? Then I am the one who has sinned, and I have committed evil. But these sheep, what have they done? O Lord, my God, I beg that your hand be against me and against my father's house, but not against your people for a plague." Were the people as innocent as David thinks? In a provocative midrash, the rabbis suggest they may have shared some of the blame for their deaths in the plague. Midrash Tehillim tells us, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai taught, "This may be likened to one who was hitting his son, and the son did not know why he was being hit. After hitting him, the father said to him, 'Go do what I had commanded you to do for several days while you ignored me.' So too, all those thousands who fell in battle during the days of David fell only because they had failed to demand the building of the temple. Surely there is a kal v'chomer argument. If those in whose days the temple did not stand among them, in whose days it was not destroyed, suffered as they did and were punished for not having demanded it, then we, in whose days it was destroyed, if we fail to mourn it and do not seek mercy on its behalf, all the more so. Therefore, the righteous of old instituted that one should pray 3 times a day, and they instituted, 'Please, O merciful one, in your great mercies, return your Shekhinah to Tzion and the sacrificial order to Yerushalayim.' They also instituted Bonei Yerushalayim, builder of Jerusalem, as a separate blessing in the Amidah prayer and in Birkat HaMazon. This serves as a reminder, as we await the final redemption, to have extra concentration for those prayers when we say the Amidah each day. The land that would become the future site of the temple was owned by a Jebusite named Arnon in our text and Aravna in Shmuel Bet. David paid shekels of gold weighing 600 and built an altar where he offered burnt and peace offerings to Hashem. The end of the chapter reminds us that the Mishkan and Mizbeach are still in Giv'on. They will not be reunited with the Aron in this place until Shlomo builds the Beit HaMikdash. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilui Nishmat Malka Esther Bat Tzvi Yosef.